Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
Our final episode is here, Art of Construction Tribe. I'm so stoked to be going on this journey with Cultivate Advisors on this deep dive series. Man, what a killer entrepreneur journey we have been on. And I am so excited to put a bow tie on this series today and recap the previous five episodes. We're going to pull this all back together. And we're going to have Casey Clark come back and help talk through the lessons learned with Jamie Rose, and my rock star co-host through this journey with me. So Jamie, here we are. You did it. You've done such a great job. We're going to go in and talk with Casey. But first, tell the AOC tribe one last time what Cultivate Advisors is all about, who you are, and what you do.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Devin. I am so excited today because we're kind of wrapping everything up. We've had so many great stories. We're going to go over those in a minute. But of course, you know, talking about Cultivate Advisors, we help give business owners clarity in their business so they can make great decisions. We're advisors, and that's a cross between a consultant and a coach. When we need to roll up our sleeves and work in the business, we're there acting as a partner in the business and also soundboarding when you need it, especially when you want to propel your business forward and you're stuck somewhere. We're there to listen. We help the business owners also grow and scale their business with processes and systems so they can build the life that they want. And a large percentage of the businesses that we work with are in the trade industries. That's why we're with the AOC today and with this series. And looking at clients that we've worked with in the past, if they've worked with us for 12 months or longer, they have seen an average of 65% increase in revenue and also an average of 108% increase in profit. And we know how important profit is. And like I always say, revenue is vanity, profit is sanity, and cash is king.
And Jamie, I'm so excited to have Casey come back and ask him some of more questions. But first, what I want to do is I want to recap the stages, and then I'm going to ask you to share one golden nugget from each of those interviews related to the stages. How does that sound?
Awesome. Let's do it.
All right. So stage one, as I learned, is the hustler, baby. You're a solopreneur. You have no full-time employees, and you're just getting going. So Jamie, give us one story when we interviewed Nicole, who was a hustler going into the experimenter phase.
Well, with Nicole, that was so much fun to talk with her because she had talked about that she had never done a cash flow projection until she met her advisor, Patrick. She was, you know, just as anyone, a lot of listeners out there probably have not done a cash flow projection. What's going on in my finances? Until you do that, it's kind of a guessing game. It's kind of like driving around without having anything on your dashboard in your car, not knowing how fast you're going or the RPMs or if you're out of gas or not. So she was now able to make financially based decisions in her business. She also niched down, as you always say, Devin, the riches are in the niches. And she started to say no. That's not always easy to do, especially when you're first starting out. She was able to say no, and that helped her catapult her into the next phase that, you know, rolls right over into the visionary.
Yeah, so I said the hustler and then also the experimenter. So if you go back into that second episode, that's where we talked through the hustler into the experimenter. But I challenge you to, if you didn't really get episode one before we go into this, we're going to have a great conversation. But Casey talked about how that experimenter is where you get to try stuff and you're experimenting different things. And that's where you have a few employees reporting to you. So it boils down to, I think Casey's going to talk to us today is about the right people in the right seat. But that hustler is going from yourself to the experimenters where you start getting others and you're trying new things. And that's what we talked with Nicole. And then we moved into the visionary stage. And that's where you have over five employees reporting directly to you. And we talked with Jeff. Jamie, what was one of the takeaways from Jeff's story talking about the visionary stage?
Yes, absolutely. Jeff from Kitchen Tune Up, what a great story. When COVID hit, it was within days he had no business. Everything was shut down in his state. He wasn't able to do anything. and wanted to hide under his desk, like so many of us at that time. But he prevailed, he pushed forward, he came back stronger than ever. He was able to take a look at his sales and be like, is this the right direction that we're going? And also his internal processes, like, hey, how can we make this better? And what's really cool is if we wouldn't have had a pandemic, maybe wouldn't have even looked at those things. So he has a really great story about resilience.
Yeah, and the Art of Construction is honored to have some of your members become members of the Art of Construction tribe, because I loved how open and honest Jeff was, you know, really talking through the trials and tribulations. And that's what's so fun for me is when you have these systemized approach, which is the only way to grow your business, but then telling these real world stories from within. So once you move past the visionary stage, you get into the systemizer stage, and that's where you have recently hired leaders and managers. And now you're getting to that working on the business instead of in the business. And at the systemizer stage, we had the pleasure of getting to know Jenna. What was some of your takeaways from getting to know Jenna, Jamie?
Well, Jenna was great because she was building out her leadership team, and she worked with her advisor, Colin, to talk about something we give to all of our clients. It's called the Predictive Index. It's a personality assessment. And so she took it in addition to her team, and she didn't realize that when she walks into a room, she is a presence, and it can affect other people when you come in, you know. So she found out, hey, this is who I am. What great awareness of who I am, and then authentically looking at her team, and this is who they are, and how can we best work together? And it was a big aha moment of slowing down, thinking about what all the other team members need in order for them to be successful. So that was just a really fantastic conversation with Jenna.
Yeah, and the PI index is one of my favorite tools from Cultivate. But having, in my world, Jamie helping us really understand it. And that was really cool how we had that conversation where I was talking through. It's like, okay, you have this, and it literally takes 3 minutes, and it's so valuable. But if you don't have somebody come from a coach, consultant point of view, and that's where she talked through that, and what a great conversation that there's a lot of really great tools within these stages. And that was fun to talk through the PI index with Jenna. And then after that, oh man, we went into the sweet mangoes, and then we went into the Saving Private Ryan story, and we got to meet Graham and hear his story as an influencer. What a ride that was.
Oh, that was so fun when he was, what was his vacation story? Was eating a mango the size of his head?
Yeah, and it was so sweet. And you know, this guy is, if you haven't listened to it, you are missing out. Like, he takes CrossFit to a whole new level with what he does, but he talked through this, you know, size of your head, this mango that him and his wife were in Kauai and just got this natural high of this mango. And, you know, it's so cool to be able to take the Art of Construction Tribe platform where we make this global and timeless, ask the same questions, but it's all about hearing these stories. And we're honored to be able to take these stages and systemize the stories that we put together, like Save It Priving Ryan, right, Jamie?
Yeah, absolutely. And what a great story that was. I highly suggest everyone listen to it, because Graham talks about how he was in the day-to-day and how he moved out of that and what he does a lot more now, which is surfing. Wouldn't that be nice? Now, we're in Colorado, so we're not doing any surfing here. But if you're in California, great place to do it. And Graham's shown how he got in that direction. So that's awesome.
Yeah, and that's what's so fun about it, is these hearing those ceilings and breaking through those ceilings to where, you know, Graham was really cool about how he's saying it was like months ago when he was not there. Now he's like talking about taking on East Coast to West Coast and has this great team as an influencer. And that last final stage as an influencer is when you're leading through a formal leadership team. And that's what we talk about. And so what a great way to take a system that Casey and his team built at Cultivate Advisors, take these real world stories. And now we get to have Casey come back. Casey, welcome to Studio AOC one last time. And as a guy who developed this process, what's your take of hearing these stories getting put to work through the stages that the system that you built?
I'm glad to be back, Devin. It's really cool. You know, the word that comes to mind is invest. It's an investment into yourself, right? To understand the stages and to break down to realize What do you need to invest in? If it's people, yourself, that level of introspection that's required to jump into that next stage. I think a lot of people think that most business owners that thrive are lucky. It's not necessarily the case. Luck can help, no doubt about it. That happens sometimes in certain businesses. However, when you look at the ability to control your destiny and you lay out these five stages and you hear those emotional stories, that's what being a business owner is, right? We all go through these massive ups and downs as these business owners. And sometimes we just want to give up. Other times we're on such a high, we could never imagine it any other way. These stages help us actually start to get a bit more grounded and take advantage and really feel those feel-good stories and feel that opportunity to go, this is a chance for me to learn, and helps just put priorities in the right place. So it's really cool to hear those stories. And I'm excited to continue to build more and more of them, which I expect to see.
Awesome. So Jamie, so Art of Construction Tribe, come on in. We're going to get around the fire, and we, in this deep dive series, we're now going to go in, and Jamie put an awesome list of questions together for Casey. So we're going to sit back and take this all in and take the five stages from Casey's point of view through these great questions. So Jamie, let's get into the questions.
Thank you, Devin. And I love that too, that, you know, the luck, people talked about luck, but I mean, truly, I think, what is the saying? The harder I work, the luckier I get.
Mm-hmm. I buy it.
Yeah, that rolls all together. So let's roll in here. Okay, so Casey, having gone through the five stages with its trials and tribulations, would you share a story of how you've grown as a leader?
Yeah, I'm happy to. I mean, I think everybody has these growing pains, right? But the ones that really kind of stick to me is if you look at how the stages are designed, it's all from this premise of when you grow to another layer of leadership or a slightly different organizational structure, it's to be clear that you're moving into a different stage and your priorities are going to shift. And so when I think about my trials and tribulations, I go to those moments when I jumped. And I think about those moments where I go, wow, what was I thinking? How much did I really have to learn to go through that experience? And I'll take it back to actually my first business when I ran the painting business. I know there's a lot of construction folks here listening in today. So you may even have this exact story. I'm sure some of you are going to be shaking your heads with us today. But I remember I was running a painting crew. It was my first year running the business. And I shared my fun hot chocolate story, right? How I really struggled at the sales stuff last time we were together. Well, the one that comes to mind is in the summer, we're producing all the homes, you know, and we're 2 months in, and I literally have every single painter band together and walk off the job site on me and quit. I went from having 15 employees down to zero employees. And, you know, classic, right? I have the customers and the homeowners coming out to me going, I don't think your people are happy. And I'm like, you think? Like, they all just walked out on me. And it was such a humbling and such a foolish feeling moment where I had to understand, you know, it wasn't just about me. It wasn't my business. I had to build a culture in which everybody a part of me or a part of this business saw their vision, saw their opportunity. And that's the first one that comes to mind. And I made a lot of changes in leadership. I'm happy to report that by the end of it, I had really 0% attrition for the next several years. But I had to get beat down so hard to experience that. And I was just so focused on sales and not about taking care of my people. And it really is a balancing act. That's the first one. We have time for me to share my second one that comes to mind?
Yeah, please.
Oh, my second one, again, thinking about how these stages work, how you jump to that next leadership level. Well, I had decided to stop, you know, kind of running my franchise. I ended up starting selling and actually leading franchise owners. And that's one of the ways I scaled the franchisor. And as I was doing that, I realized that I had started to really kind of hone in and really understand direct leadership. Now, leading painters in my own business was very different than trying to lead business owners or trying to scale through that endeavor. And I went out and sold so many franchisees, on just the most extreme expectations. I was extremely successful. I had broken multiple records in the business. And I was going out and selling, you can do this too. Everyone can do it. What do you think happened? They came in. I set the expectations so high and I forgot about my own learning curve that I had to go through. Everybody fell at a third of what I pushed out. And you can imagine what type of environment that created. So here I am again, 5 years later, after all of my painters walked out on me, looking at the situation going, how did this just happen again to me? But it was because we went to a different stage of the business. And I just wasn't conscious enough about what was happening that creates that environment. and I wasn't focused on the right expectation setting, knowing that people are going to go through a learning spill. And I just think as you move through these stages, it is so hard to understand what you're going to go in through unless you have somebody else that can guide you through it. And that's what I really, really buy into these stages, that it gives that best practice sharing and it gives that model to understand what is the priority. So for me, those are the two that really stick out to me. Is like, that's where I really experienced those stages at work. And I got to see some of those failures that came along with it because I didn't have the right mindset.
Well, sure. And they're not things you're going to forget.
I don't forget them. I'm proud to say I have not had that happen again. And let's keep it that way, Jamie. But, you know, a decade ago, I still reflect back and just think about where I remember sitting in my truck. I remember me screaming and shaking and wanting to break a window. I mean, I remember the frustration and having every external reason of why it happened versus just looking in the mirror and going, I actually have to go through this learning. I don't know how to do this.
Yeah, that's the hardest, is to look in the mirror and slow things down and be like, how did I contribute to this? And that's not an easy adventure. And some people never take that adventure. So I commend you for doing that and holding up the mirror.
Didn't have an option in those two examples.
Okay. Well, let's talk about in terms of what stage was the most difficult and why. Work with the story.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're just asking, like, out of all the stages, which one for me has been the most difficult, right?
Yes. For you personally.
You didn't give me the easiest question, right? Like, what's the easiest? For me, the easiest is the visionary. Let me think through this. I'd probably say the experimenter. I think that the experimenter is the toughest for a lot of people. For me, it's definitely the toughest. I'm an idea generator. I love to come up with ideas. I'm always having to kind of slap myself and say, no, like, you don't need to keep evolving this. You don't need to keep developing this. Let it sit and ride its course for growth. But the story that comes to mind, just kind of processing through, you know, I think that most people really struggle at really, and this is what kind of lends to this story. A lot of people struggle to be able to say no. And a lot of, and I know we talked a little bit about the interview that mentioned this as well. And when I really look at what I struggled with, and I'm going to actually talk about Cultivate. When I was building this organization, I wanted to focus on everything. I just wanted to help. And our team wanted to help. And we were focused on, we had a corporate option. We're supposedly a small business advisory firm. I created a corporate option. Doesn't make any sense. We had training opportunities that could go down to the employees. We had a technology arm that we were building out. We had the small business advising. We tried to do flights where we brought all the owners together into small groups and ran those. It became so overwhelming. It was so unclear what were we really good at, what were we amazing at. And I'll never forget the meeting. This was actually with a board of advisors that I have. And they just said, what are you just really great at? And what's the only thing you need to do? And we went and picked it. I was so afraid, right? Just like calling your baby ugly and just going, no, these don't get to stay here any longer. You cut them off and you go down to that one thing. We went down to our one-on-one advising. And here's the coolest part about the story. We exploded. We grew so fast. Everybody knew exactly what we did. It was very simple. This is our service. And better yet, if you look at our business now that it's matured and it's got a lot bigger, we have some of those different training arms for the employees. We have some of the technology arms. We've actually been able to come back and slowly bolt those on in different verticals, allowing us to get that growth. It's just, we were doing it way too early in the process. And for me, that was the most difficult because I just wanted to make such a big impact. It was tough. It was tough to really kill everything else.
It's hard to say no.
For me, it was really tough.
Yeah, especially when your ideas, they're popping up all the time for you. Imagine before you have breakfast, you have 50. And so to decide which are the good ones, that's why you have a good team around you that says, Casey, this one's super awesome. This one's a big no. And that's okay. And to be in that space or to be okay with that too. It shows a great
leader. Well, that was absolutely the hardest. And I think a lot of people get stuck in that stage.
Because if you go back to episode one, Casey, you talk about the experimenter phases where you do get to try stuff. But if you want to move past that, that's when you better start saying no. And we struggle as entrepreneurs because we know that can work. All those things can work. But they can't work at the same time, right? And so that's what I love hearing, the real world stories of all of your cultivate members coming in, but including yourself to say, when we really followed the system we built, we crushed it.
Well, and it's emotion. Most business owners, we make our decisions off of gut. Even if we take the predictive index assessment and we learn that we're, you know, going to make more objective-based decisions, we're still looking subjectively constantly. We're emotional people to take on this type of risk, right? And you have to address that as an entrepreneur. And so when you think about this, that experimenter is, when you're saying no, Jamie, why it was so hard, it was so emotional. The data said, don't go near it, right? The whole point of testing, Devin, is go test to see if the data tells you it'll work. But if not, cut it quick, fast as you can, get out of there, niche in, get out of there, and start growing. But it was hard. I got stuck there for definitely a lot longer than I needed to, especially knowing the model that we were building and the advice we were giving. It was hilarious, right? Just like a walking contradiction, telling people to niche in every day as an advisor and then back here going, I can build everything. Was not ideal. It was a good learning lesson.
It happens. The children's, the cobbler's children's go shoeless. Help me out here.
Yeah.
Cobbler's children go shoeless.
Right.
There we go.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Awesome. Well, let's talk about when situations do get frustrating or difficult, because as entrepreneurs, they do. There is no easy route. So when things get difficult, how do you realign yourself emotionally? Knowing what end goal that you want to get to, like, do you do meditation, exercise, like call a friend? What do you do?
Yeah. You know, and we all, I think, got this experience when COVID hit, to be fair, right? Not to bring it back, but I think we all got that experience when it came about. And we had these frustration elements. And I think for me, what always happens is I always clear my calendar and I start working on the business versus in it. I immediately take myself and try to do everything I can to pull myself out. And I literally think of it as just the puppeteer. They have a string attached to me and they have to yank me up out of the business so I can get above the curtains and actually start to realize what's happening. Because if I stay down in the business and I don't pull myself back up and give myself strategic ability to go think creatively about how to solve the problem, I generally make the wrong mistakes. And I generally let my emotions, you know, as we're talking about in this frustration, take over me. And then it usually is just a ripple effect through the organization. So for me personally, I have to slow down. I pull myself out. I do this really, really intense prioritization exercise that I've built that I go through. You know, I won't get into all the details. I don't have enough time to explain it today, but the very short version is I believe you can only have 4 to 5 priorities at one time. I go back and track all of my time for the month. I look at every single hour, how I spent it, what came out of it, and where do I need to shift my time, and how will that actually move the business forward? And a lot of times when I start to get frustrating is when I'm too involved and I have to start cutting a lot of things out of my world. And it's really hard because you get in repetitions, you get in these processes yourself, and you have to break that mold. That's usually how I get out of frustration.
I think that's for another podcast.
That's a much deeper discussion.
That's for another podcast. Yeah, that sounds amazing.
That tool, or an advising session. I'd love to hear how do you get to the 4 to 5 when you have 50 ideas before breakfast. Like this is a real thing as us entrepreneurs, because I struggle with it every day. I'm like, I say squirrel, like this is your focus. This is what your team, this is what you're doing, and knowing where you're at. But I would love to see, you know, because the whole goal setting and you're setting up your ideal day is so hard as an entrepreneur, because our brains are wired to have 50 ideas before breakfast. So I would love to table that, dangle the carrot, and see where we can put together on that.
I think we definitely can come back to it. Here's what I will share though. I think on the priority side, where people struggle, again, back to the 5 stages, why it works and why we use that to help have clarity of where you're at, is that helps you guide what the priority should be. And remember, most entrepreneurs, and Devin, I know you can relate to this as well. I know you can, Jamie. We've talked about it. What happens is that you want to keep the control. You don't want to give up control and pass those ideas or pass those priorities on through your team. And that ultimately holds you back from scale. You're either, again, back to what I said earlier, you're afraid of the investment is often what entrepreneurs struggle with, and that they're going to set it up wrong. But you have to go through that experience. You have to fail. And then ultimately, it'll show you the path to success. So another conversation for another day, but boy, we could really go deep there when the time is right.
Yeah, certainly too. It's hard to let go. It's hard to give up control. And a lot of entrepreneurs, and I did it in my own businesses, is we're the ones that get in the way.
You help others get to your vision.
Yes,
and that's a hard reality to embrace.
It is. It is. Okay, let's roll the next one. So Cultivate Advisors promotes utilizing an advisor to help small businesses grow. How have you used advisors, mentors, and guides through the stages of your business?
Well, obviously, I believe in having an advisory, right? We wouldn't have created Cultivate Advisors if that was the point.
I think that goes.
Yeah. So obviously, I better have a good story on this. There's two ways that I've done it. You know, one, Cultivate's a very horizontal organization. So one thing that's really important is I have a lot of conversations with everybody on the team, and I'm so lucky and fortunate that I get these super talented raw advisors who have all ran businesses in the past, all have complete different experiences, different models in their heads, different industries they've experienced, and I get to pull from that. So often am I just grabbing an hour here or there with different people and pulling in information going, I know nothing about this. This is my idea. How do we do this? I get to cheat. So I want to first start there. I love utilizing my team. And the thing that I would pass to anybody is ask your team more questions for input and stop feeling like you have to have all the answers. Because I think that's the first place that you find the guides, is actually realizing your team, if you hire good people, will take you a lot further than you yourself ever will. But in terms of actually having the advisory, I did build out my own executive team, or my own executive board, I apologize. I brought in people from the outside that had a ton more experience than I had. And I found people that had their strengths were my weaknesses. So I don't have a ton of background on the marketing side of the business, on the marketing acquisition and creating that engine. I don't have a ton of experience when it comes to acquisitions and the financial structure, the way I wanted to decentralize across multiple regions. Those are areas I had not really been a part of. I went and found two very, very talented individuals that have a ton of experience in those two areas that I meet with for 4 hours on a monthly basis that helps me drive the business. Now, that's really expensive. I had to give up a little bit of equity to get it, and I have to pay a pretty big paycheck to have access to them in terms of their success. But it's worth it to me, because most people go, they leave the 4 hours of an advisory and they say, oh, I only got that one or two small things. Was it really worth it? Well, if you go put the time in and then you look at that lifetime value of that decision you made, even if you came to the conclusion you would have 2 years later, but you found it 2 years earlier, I apologize, just imagine what that lifetime value is, because you have somebody else looking over your shoulder going, whoa, wait, don't do that. And what about all the times they've led me now to where I didn't make a decision that maybe I would have, and what that helped with? So my biggest piece of advice when people are looking at this is you need to have an advisor. Obviously, Cultivate has a phenomenal opportunity for that, because we have so many different great advisors with so many different diverse backgrounds. But even if it's not Cultivate, you've got to have somebody. Every employee generally has a boss. Every entrepreneur, you don't need a boss, but you do need an advisor you have to bounce this off of, and you have to have some level of accountability, because otherwise you won't even realize you're stagnant. You won't even realize it. You won't even realize it's you unless you bring that third party perspective into the conversation. Anyway, I could talk forever about this, but those are my quick versions of how I've established this, but it's just so important for everybody to have it.
Yes, absolutely. Especially when you go to your team and say, am I drinking my own Kool-Aid? Like,
yeah.
Tell me,
yeah.
Is this good or bad?
Why can't I say no to all these great ideas? Just do what you tell every other client. Okay, sounds good, everybody. Thank you for that. All right.
Nice, okay.
But you need that. You need that. If you don't open yourself up for that, if you don't open yourself up, if you think you're the smartest person in the room, you will only run the business to the level of what you're truly capable of, and you'll never burst through the next level. And that's the whole point.
So true. So true. Okay. So what are some fears you have overcome during your journey that you will never forget? I know.
Gosh, this is kind of similar to the last couple questions ago, but it is a little different. I mean, you know, my biggest fear, what keeps me up at night, is that we make a promise to a customer, or we make a promise to an employee that joins our team, and we don't deliver on it. And the reason why it keeps me up at night is because there's always one or two of those happening. Right? If you just think about it, you're never going to perfectly deliver every commitment or opportunity. Otherwise, you're not taking enough risk. And so it's this crazy cycle. And so my biggest fear that I've always had is that feeling. The other one, because the solution is the same for both. The other one that I've had a lot of fear around is an entrepreneur, you can get on this treadmill and you can run as fast as you can and realize you're running in the wrong direction and not get anything out of your time and your ROI. There is a luxury and a benefit to having autonomy. There's also a lot of danger that goes with having a lot of autonomy. And so you have to respect that. And for me, I was always nervous, would I be able to give my all to my wife or my children? Will I be able to really truly check out and get to live a fulfilled life? Those are the two fears that I think keep me up at night. And it comes down to one thing very simply. And I shared it earlier, prioritization. You have to know your prioritization better than anybody else. And you never allow yourself to become the rag doll of the business. And you always stay in control of where you put your time. And the biggest way to do this, and the way that I've gotten over this fear, is I just take the dollar amount I want to make, or I want to see the business succeed, and I divide it by the number of hours I'm capable of working. And you start to realize very quickly how much you have to be worth per hour. And you start completely shifting how you think. And all of a sudden you start putting value on your family. You start to put value on your decisions. More importantly, you start to value your people. And that although you're setting out the visions, or you're setting out those opportunities for those people, and you want to deliver on those, you're fine going back to them and partnering, going, we went for this. We missed. Here's where we missed by. How do we make it up? And it allows you to start to move so much faster because you understand that time truly is money. And once you are connected to that at a completely, probably ridiculous way, that's when I always see entrepreneurs explode. In a good way.
Not combust, but just grow
because it just clicks. And I find the people who don't grab that and don't really harness it and understand it, they struggle just horrifically.
Absolutely. Thank you for clarifying the explosion.
Yeah, I think it's important. Like, oh, so don't want to do that. No, you want to do that.
You do want to do that. Okay. All right. Last question here, Casey. So if you could go back, remember the Casey that started this business and all the adventures and struggles and teachings you've witnessed along the way. If he was standing in front of us right now, what would you say to him?
This is like a Back to the Future question, right? It's like, if I only knew that the Cubs were going to win the World Series, right? I would bet so much money. I don't know if we have a long enough time on this podcast for me to share all my lessons, because I'd want to give myself every answer I could to go that much faster in business. That's just my nature. Let me pick one or two. I mean, what comes to mind initially when you ask the question is this. One, it's all going to come down to who you hire. What expectations you're going to set around performance, and then the amount of training and support you will provide them. That is business. I don't care what your widget is. I don't care whatever you choose, whatever your passion is. It's going to come down to who do you hire, what expectations do you set around performance, and how well do you train them, and how well do you support them? Because if you do that, you are going to continue to scale companies and continue to grow and be able to go to wherever you want to go, as long as the model itself financially works. That, to me, would be the single most important thing I would have to share to myself back in the day, because I was focused on so many things and thinking all these things were important. To come to find out, that was the nucleus. Sure, I need to go get sales. I need to go get marketing. Sure. All those things are important. But at the end of the day, if you harness and really own that skill, you could pretty much turn any business into a success.
Yeah, and it comes down to the people. That's what I'm hearing.
Right? Unless you're excited to run a hustler business where it's all on you, which that's right. Perfect for some people. For me, it wasn't. I'm not willing to do that. I wanted to grow. And so to be able to do any of that, I had to understand the people inside my organization were more important than me.
Sure. No, that's beautiful. Thank you. I appreciate that. Devin, go ahead.
I wanted to, as we're kind of going into the closing, just wanted to kind of selfishly kind of put it out there that this may sound like a plug, but we're closing in on 200 episodes of doing this podcast.
Congrats.
And I started out this podcast of not quite knowing what I was doing. I was a full-on hustler as my side hustle. And if you've been at the beginning, you go back, Jamie, I think she was like the fifth guest, right? And this journey that we've went on this whole podcast, at the first episode, and I always say to the last episode, I'm going to get consistent. I'm going to ask what is that one thing for contractors and affiliates to grow their business? And I sit here and I listen to you guys talk about this to say, this is not Devin Tilley's podcast. This is the Art of Construction podcast. And I listen to you guys talk about this to say, well, this is for construction and we help this and this is for that. But you already answered the question in a perfect way that I don't need to ask you that question, because we took 6 podcasts in the deep dive series. We went on all these roller coasters of Saving Private Ryan to Mangos to all the different stuff. And it all comes down to one word, prioritization. But the prioritization of each one of those steps is about the right person in the right seat. And if you just want to be a hustler by yourself, if you want to be Devin Tilly Podcast, just be Devin Tilly Podcast. And you can do it all yourself. But if you want to be the art of construction, then you better go find a Casey Clark to come in and remind you to be an advisor and say, you better prioritize where you want to go with this thing. And then the Casey Clarks of the world are going to spin it back to the Jamie Rose of the world and put it all back together to have a cultivate advisor to help you work on the business and see what you're missing in the business. So that's what I hear when I say all these podcasts coming together, but you have to hear it 7 times for the first time. So we're almost there. One more podcast maybe of Casey's stories, and we may be able to fully hear it for the first time when we have 50 ideas before breakfast, and we can really get down to where the riches are in the niches. So Jamie, we're going to go in and close it, but Casey, anything you'd add to me to say that one thing, hopefully I put and did justice of what you put together on your 5 steps to say, hopefully we're telling the Art of Construction tribe what it means to be part of the Cultivate Advisor tribe.
Devin, whenever you're ready, we'll do a ghostwriting relationship. No problem. That was beautifully said. I think that, for me, the last thing I'll share is this, just make the stages really easy. If your organization chart moves at all, stop, reprioritize, and figure out what does that mean in this new model of your business? Because if you keep running it the way you were before the org chart changed, you're going to go the wrong way and you'll find yourself continuing to come back and go, oh, I'm back to the stage I was in. Oh, I'm back to the stage I'm in. And that's what we see. And that's what we want to stop. Small business is really the heart of the economy. It's what continues to help grow talent. It's what continues to grow opportunities for people. There's no reason why everybody that has the vision and the dream cannot go run and scale and grow a small business. You just have to be open to learning. And I feel like that's what you said so elegantly that you've picked up from this conversation. So thanks for sharing that, Devin.
Awesome. Well, Casey, thank you so much for trusting Art of Construction and coming in and allowing Jamie to be my awesome guest co-host and share
great
these stories and put those in. So Jamie, we did it. So what a journey we put on here. So what's the best way now to, if they haven't reached out yet, what's the best way for the Art of Construction tribe to reach out to the Cultivate Advisor tribe?
Absolutely. So the best and easiest way for everyone is to go to cultivateadvisors.com/AOC/again. So if you go ahead and go on there, you can even take a quiz and find out what stage you are in. And you can also schedule an appointment for a free 2-hour advising session.
Well, hopefully you got to hear it. If you've been listening to these episodes, go stop when you get home. Go sign up, get the free 2 hours, and take the time, tribe. You got to work on your business and go take those 2 free hours and see if Cultivate can give you that golden nugget and see if it's the right fit for you. Jamie, thanks so much for coming in and being my co-host and going on this journey. What a great time I've had with you, and what a cool platform you guys have.
Oh, thank you so much, Devin. We appreciate you having us on here. This has been awesome.
All right, crush it out there, Art of Construction.